This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'ghfiruh, wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد. In last week's khutbah, we mentioned the story of Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. During the battle of Tabuk, when all of the believers were supposed to leave and participate in that battle, and the only ones who remained behind were either the hypocrites or those who had a legitimate excuse. They were ill, they were sick, either they were not physically able to attend or financially they were not able to attend. Except three individuals remained behind who were not of the hypocrites nor of those who had a legitimate excuse. And one of them was Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam returned from that battle, and the hypocrites and everyone who remained behind came forward to give their justification and their excuses for why they remained behind, when it was the turn of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he thought of making an excuse and lying. But he realized that there was no point. And so he told the truth and he kept to his word. What happened after that? We let Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu to tell us his story himself. He says, thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade all of the Muslims from speaking to us three. Ka'b ibn Malik and the other two. As a result, the Muslims had boycotted us and their attitude had changed towards us. And it seemed as if the whole atmosphere in Medina had turned against us. We remained like this for 50 days and nights. As for my two companions, they stayed at home weeping and crying. But as for me, I was young, I was bold, and so I would leave home and I would pray in the masjid with the Muslims and I would go about in the markets, but no one would speak to me. I would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as he would be sitting among the people after salah, and I would give him my salam. I would say, assalamu alaykum. And I would see, and I would ask myself, did he sallallahu alayhi wasallam move his lips to reply to me or not? I would pray near him. I would take a glance at him. When I would finish my salah, he would look at me. But then when I would look at him, he would turn his eyes from me. He goes on to say, when this harsh treatment had prolonged, I decided to go to one of my cousins in Medina, Abu Qatada. who was very beloved to me. I went to his garden and I climbed his wall. And I greeted him, I said my salam. He didn't return his salam. I said to him, O Abu Qutada, I beg you, in the name of Allah, are you not aware that I love Allah and His Messenger? He remained silent. Ka'b repeated himself. He said, are you not aware that I love Allah and His Messenger? To which Abu Qatada replied, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Messenger know best. Allah and His Messenger know best. As a result of hearing this, tears swelled up in my eyes, and I climbed back down from the wall. Look at the level of the submission of the Muslims. Look at the level of their submission to the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were commanded to boycott these three individuals, not to speak to them. And here was a close friend of Ka'b. He was in his garden. He could have spoken to him, but he remained steadfast. He knows that Allah is watching him. It's a command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I have to obey it. Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he continues, as I was walking in the streets of Medina, as I was walking in the markets one day, a man from Syria had come to trade in Medina. And he asked the people to direct him to Ka'b ibn Malik. So they pointed to me and said, there he is. What could this man possibly want? A man from Syria. He came to me and he gave me a letter. And he said, this is a letter from the king of Ghassan. Ghassan was a place in Syria that was inhabited by tribes of the Arabs. He says, this is a letter from our king. And so Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he took it, he opened it, and he read it. It said, it has come to our attention that your friend, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has treated you harshly. Allah has not made you to be in a place where you are going to be humiliated and where you can't find your right place. So come to us. Come to us and you shall be received graciously. And this is what the enemies of Islam do day in, day out. They look for such opportunities to lure us, to tempt us, to fall into their trap, to join their ranks against the Muslims. And so Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he was being offered what we would call today political asylum. But did he take it? He could have taken it. He could have turned to the Muslims and said to them, look, if you don't change your attitude towards me, then here I have a free ticket to leave you and live a gracious life. But what did Ka'b radiallahu anhu do instead? He says, upon reading this letter, I said to myself, this too is a trial. It is a test for me. And so I threw the letter into a fire and I burned it. What do we learn from this? One of the lessons that we learn from this is that Shaytan, he has his ways. And he has his channels. He has his ways of access to us. And as long as we leave the door there for him to enter, then he will enter and we will be tempted. How do we close that door? By burning it. Many of us, we recognize our wrong, our sins, and we stay away from it for some time, but then we are tempted back to it again. How many of us, we watch TV, we see what is haram, we lower our gaze, and then we continue watching. Why not just cut the wire, throw the TV out? How many of us, we've been tempted to have relations, haram relations, boyfriends, girlfriends, and we repent and we say we're gonna end this relationship, but we keep their number. And so Shaitan tempts us to call them again. Change your number. This is what we learn from Ka'b radiallahu anhu. He didn't let that letter to stay with him, so that tomorrow, next week, he's tempted to go back to that letter and accept that invitation. Instead, he burned it to forget it completely. Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he continues. When 40 days went by, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent a messenger to me. What could it possibly be? Could it possibly be good news? Is it over? The messenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to me and he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands you to distance yourself from your wife. Ka'b said, should I divorce her? He said, no. Just stay away from her. Don't come near her. So Ka'b says, I went to my wife and I ordered her to go to her parents and stay with them until Allah decides my fate. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given the same orders to the other two companions. Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he stayed away from his wife and he spent the remaining days all by himself, isolated, no one to talk to, no one to see. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. فاتقوا الله عباد الله في السر والنجوى. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he continues his story. It was in this state that I spent 10 more nights. And thus 50 days and 50 nights had gone by. in which the people had boycotted us and gave up talking to us. Then on the morning of the 50th, after I had prayed Salatul Fajr on the rooftop of one of our homes, and I was sitting there in the very same description that Allah later on described in the Quran, the earth seemed to close in on us despite its vastness. As Allah says in Surah At-Tawbah, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. And the three who had remained behind, until there came a time when the earth, despite its vastness, it seemed to close in on them, and their souls were torn in anguish, and they knew there was no refuge from Allah except through Allah. What a huge test. What a huge trial. 50 days and nights, isolated, not speaking to anyone, no one allowed to speak to you. If it was one of us, 2-3 days, and it would have been over for us. But look at how Allah praises these three individuals here. They did not give up their hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how dark the days become, don't give up. Don't give up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who put you through that test and trial in the first place. Why is it that many people, they resort to suicide, taking antidepressants, resorting to alcohol, and all sorts of other things to relieve the distress that they're in? Because of their lack of iman. Because of their lack of conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ka'b radiallahu anhu, even though he went through all of this, look at him sitting, praying Salatul Fajr, remembering Allah, not giving up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, as I was sitting there on my rooftop, and I had prayed Salatul Fajr. In another narration, Salama, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she says, on that night, Allah had sent down revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, announcing that Allah had accepted the repentance of these three individuals. She said, Ya Rasulullah, shall I not go and tell the people? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, they won't be able to sleep this night. So he waited until Fajr, and after Salatul Fajr, he told his companions. Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he says, after I was sitting there after Salatul Fajr, I suddenly heard a voice from the mountain of Sala' in Medina, shouting, a person shouting at the top of his lungs, O Ka'b ibn Malik, rejoice! And right away, I knew that this was a relief from Allah. And so right away, I made sujood, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had informed his companions after Salatul Fajr that Allah had accepted our repentance. And so the companions fled. They fled from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go and give Ka'b the good tidings. And the fastest of them came racing on a horse, and he told Ka'b of the good news. So Ka'b radiallahu an, he took off his garment and he gave it to him as a gift for giving him this good news. Ka'b says, "By Allah, I had no other clothes at that time except these. So then I borrowed two garments. I dressed myself and I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on my way, whoever I met, they would give me the good tidings and they would congratulate me until I reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Look at the sentiments of the companions. Look at their attitude. Yesterday they weren't speaking to him. Why? Not because they hated him, but because they submitted to the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today, when they're allowed to speak to him, they're rushing to give him the good news. Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he says, "I sat before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I greeted him and his face was bearing signs of delight. His face was beaming with delight. And he said, 'O Ka'b, rejoice. Rejoice with the best day that you have ever seen since the day that your mother gave birth to you.' I said, 'Ya Rasulullah, is this from you or is it from Allah? Is it your decision or is it something that Allah revealed to you?' He said, 'No, it is from Allah.' And these are the verses that Allah revealed in Surah At-Tawbah that we just recited. ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. And so Allah accepted their repentance. And Allah is the acceptor of repentance, the most merciful. Ka'b continues, "As I sat before him, I said, 'Ya Rasulullah, I have made a condition on myself that if Allah accepts my repentance, I will give up all of my wealth in sadaqah for Allah and His Messenger.' The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 'O Ka'b, no. Keep some of it with you, for that is better for you.' Then I said, 'Ya Rasulullah, Allah has saved me because of my truthfulness. And so from this day on, I will only speak the truth as long as I am alive.'" Ka'b radiallahu anhu says, "By Allah, I do not know of any Muslim who has been granted truthfulness better than me since the day that I spoke the truth to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day. By Allah, since I made that promise to Rasulullah that I will never speak a lie, since that day, I have never intended to tell a lie. And I ask Allah to protect me from lying for as long as I live. By Allah, since Allah guided me to Islam, there has never been a blessing more significant to me than this truth of mine that I spoke to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And had I told a lie, I would have been ruined like those who were ruined," meaning the hypocrites, "for Allah described them with the worst of description that He ever described anyone, as Allah said in Surah At-Tawbah about the munafiqoon, 'Sayahlifuna billahi lakum idha alqalabtum ilayhim litu'ridu anhum fa'a'ridu anhum innahum rijs.'" Allah says, "They will come to you after you return. After you return from Tabuk, the hypocrites, they will come to you. They will make oaths by Allah. They will swear by Allah that they are telling the truth. Why? So that you leave them alone. فَأَعْرِضُوا عَنْهُمْ. So leave them alone. They are evil. يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ لِتَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ. They swear by Allah so that you are pleased with them." فإن ترضوا عنهم فإن الله لا يرضى عن القوم الفاسقين. If you are pleased with them, then Allah is not pleased with such an evil people. My dear brothers and sisters, this was a story of Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu and his two companions. There are so many lessons, valuable lessons, that every single Muslim can learn from such a story. Among these lessons is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He puts us through test and trial, not to harm us, but rather for our own good, and to filter the truthful from the liars in the ranks of the Muslims. Among the lessons we learn is that what matters is the ending, not the mistake that you make in the beginning. Yes, we sin, we make mistakes, but what matters is the end. How do we turn to Allah in repentance? And how true is our repentance? This story was an example of a true repentance. And that's why Surah At-Tawbah was named as such, At-Tawbah, repentance. Among the lessons that we learn is the importance of truthfulness. Speak the truth, even if it seems to be against you, because it is for your own good, and do not lie, even if it seems to be in your favor, because in the end, it will only come to haunt you. Among the lessons we learn is to accompany the truthful. Accompany the truthful. Make your friends those who are truthful, not liars. Because that is how Allah concluded their story. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen. O you who believe, fear Allah. And be with who? Be with the truthful. هذا وصلوا وسلموا رحمكم الله على نبينا محمد بن عبد الله كما أمركم بذلك ربكم جل في علاه فقال تعالى قولا كريما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وارض اللهم عن خلفائه الأربعة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين وعنا معهم برحمتك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.